This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. We've talked several times on this program about the privacy concerns of everyday people using web browsers and social media and email. Leaks of classified information about the National Security Agency's sweeping electronic surveillance program could forever change the privacy conversation. Alleged whistleblower Edward Snowden, a former CIA employee and contractor for Booz Allen Hamilton, is now on the run from the world's most powerful intelligence agency and accusations of treason by U.S. lawmakers. Meanwhile, Snowden's internet following is picking up. Brady Carlson, our eye on the internet, is with us for a glimpse of how the NSA PRISM leak is playing out online. Brady, great to have you back.
It's great to be here. Thanks.
So it is a really complicated story. Any recommendations for resources for finding out more?
Extremely complicated. I have been following this story on the sites that cover tech and web culture. Sites like the Wired Danger Room blog, like Mashable, like Read Write Web. They've been writing synopses of the story and what we know so far about PRISM, and they've been doing a good job of keeping up on the latest developments. Slate is another one. They've been posting a range of perspectives about PRISM and these new revelations, everything from don't worry about it, don't freak out, to you should probably freak out. So we can put some links up on the Word of Mouth website if you'd like to get caught up on the story.
How about reactions to President Obama's role? Quite a backlash going on in some sectors online. And as you said, a variety of perspectives. A lot of people saying we're at war, we need this, we're protected, we feel safer. Others not so much. Now, what are we seeing about responses to the Obama administration's policy?
Well, there's two things. I mean, one is that people have a complex feeling on the web about privacy. There's two ways that plays out. One is sort of, I could encapsulate it this way to say, I'm okay with the government going into other people's personal data, but not mine, in the name of counterterrorism. The other one is, I mean, if you remember during the 2008 and the 2012 elections, the Obama campaign won huge plaudits for that micro-targeting, in a sense, using personal data of people to target their messages and really connect one-on-one with voters to great effect then in winning votes. At the same time, the web is largely skeptical of any kind of program, be it from a company or be it from the government, that seems to intrude on privacy. And so there has been a big backlash. There's an online petition on the White House website that's calling for the president to unequivocally pardon Edward Snowden. It's about halfway to the threshold of 100,000, at which point the White House would then promise to give a response. There was a Tumblr blog I saw yesterday called Obama is Checking Your Email, and it takes all of the pictures that we've seen over the years of him in classrooms, you know, looking at iPads with kids and pictures like that, putting them all in and giving them kind of a sinister connotation. And then there was a video that someone made where they took clips of then candidate Barack Obama criticizing the Bush administration security policies and then counterposing them with clips of President Obama defending his administration's policies.
And let's hear a bit of the audio of that mashup. Here is the debate between candidate Barack Obama in 2007 and the president's reaction to the NSA revelations made earlier this week.
No more national security letters to spy on citizens who are not suspected of a crime. No more tracking citizens who do nothing more than protest a misguided war. No more ignoring the law when it is inconvenient. That is not who we are, and it's not what is necessary to defeat the terrorists.
And what I can say is that in evaluating these programs, they make a difference in our capacity to anticipate and prevent possible terrorist activity.
Yeah, you can hear the change in tone from candidate Obama to President Obama. What about the role of tech companies themselves? Are people talking about the role that they've played in creating this infrastructure to enable surveillance?
What I thought was really interesting this week after the PRISM leaks came out was that, well, first of all of the big tech companies came out with statements that, you know, downplayed their involvement or said, you know, we haven't heard of PRISM and we don't give the government direct access to our servers. And then you saw the reaction from a lot of tech watchers where they were parsing what exactly was in those statements. For example, that phrase, giving the government direct access to our servers. Well, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're not giving information, just not through the method of giving the government direct access to, say, Facebook servers or Google servers. Or, you know, we hadn't heard of PRISM. Well, the government probably wouldn't give out the name PRISM because it's not necessary in the name of gathering that information. The other piece of it, too, and this came up in a great piece by The Atlantic, was is that the government has for many years turned towards Silicon Valley firms to build up this infrastructure. They don't try and recreate it in-house at the NSA or the CIA. They've worked with these organizations for many years. I mean, I remember a decade ago, there was a lot of controversy about a proposed data mining program called Total Information Awareness, which wound up not taking place. But I mean, social media is by its nature about collecting information and putting it into different contexts. So, I mean, in a way, you shouldn't be surprised that's the partnership, assuming that it is true.
We're talking about what's been buzzing on the web around the unfolding story of the NSA's massive data collection program called PRISM. And HPR's Brady Carlson is our steadfast web watcher. He's been following the internet reaction to this story. We have talked several times on the show about various aspects of privacy, usually in the context of conversations about Facebook or Google targeting ads our way. Will the privacy debate ever be the same after this? It seems a little trite, you know, worrying about whether you get, shampoo commercials aimed at you after people looking or after companies looking at your email compared to this kind of level of surveillance.
I mean, I think it more focuses that same conversation in a way, because the question at the heart of that debate is who should be allowed to go into what you are, you know, theoretically allowed to think of as your private data. I mean, if I use a Gmail account to send back and forth emails to my friends and my family, is that my data? Or is it because it's on a Google server, is that data that Google can look at and target ads to me? Or, right now under federal law, police don't necessarily need a warrant to get into that email because it's on a cloud server. It's not on my own personal computer. It's on a computer at Google's headquarters. If we don't know a lot about PRISM yet to know whether it has access to that same inbox, but if it does, that's another question. And I mean, there's a trade-off here. We trade off the idea that Google or Facebook or Twitter or whoever could give us ads, could target information to us, or could conceivably use our own personal data for access to these free programs. And if the government is acknowledging the idea of PRISM, then they're saying that the trade-off is, you know, we have access to this information in the name of protecting you from terrorist activity. The question that you have to ask is that trade-off then worth it? And that's, I think, the question we're going to see. We have had that conversation before, but I think we're probably going to have it a little more clearly and possibly a little more divisively in the next year or so.
Well, quickly, Brady, obviously you talked about this, a complicated thing. There's not a lot of nuance all the time in web memes, but a lot of people are kind of considering that the country was founded in no small part with the idea of individual liberty as paramount. And there have been some creative memes springing up to address that, including one casting Paul Revere as a terrorist.
Yeah. This is on Slate. There was a fictional analyst for the British government in the 1700s using metadata, you know, sort of saying, oh, well, I see John Adams and Samuel Adams and Paul Revere happen to belong to these same organizations. So we can, you know, extrapolate from that Paul Revere may be here or there. It's all in the name of an organization called Ye Olde National Security Agency, and it's trying to track down these troublemakers. And it says, of course, satirically, that we're only using certain kinds of metadata. We're not just simply going through everyone's personal information.
Well, Brady Carlson is NHPR's All Things Considered host and our own internet Sherpa, keeping a vigilant eye on all things digital. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Now, you can find links to more on the web's reaction to the NSA privacy story and everything else that we talked about at wordofmouthradio.org, including some of those resources for sifting through a really complicated story. I know we're hearing a lot of headlines that make it sound kind of simple and kind of espionage-ish, but I think there's a lot more to it. Now, coming up, a college chemistry professor is going to take his show on the road to cultivate the next generation of scientists. That's when Word of Mouth continues.